before I start, I want to mention a couple people. First of all, my daughter Idella is here, and my grandson Leroy. And I want to, it's kind of hard for maybe a little guy that's three to understand what this is. So the way I want to explain it to you, Leroy, is that this is going to be like a Thomas train. Except this train is going to be called Kathy. It's a girl train, because there aren't enough, we know. And this train, we're not going to go around the Isle of Sodor, the island of Sodor. We're going to be going around this place called Toronto Center. And we're going to be on the train with all of these people on the train, having fun and going and talking to people and bringing everybody else on the train to make the Isle of Sodor an amazing and better place. I remember the very first moment I decided to enter this campaign. I was walking up Sherburn Street, but it wasn't the kind of romantic, snowy day that some people use to make a big decision about leaving politics. It was a cold, rainy, gray day, and it was in the midst of the H1N1 outbreak, and I was on my way to get my shot. And by the way, I got my other shot Friday. This is my messaging to you around vaccine. Now I could have been walking up Parliament Street, I could have been walking up Church Street, I could have been walking at Jarvis or Yonge Street, because every block I saw the telltale reminders of how destructive the conservative Mykerus years were here in Ontario. I saw affordable housing in disrepair. I saw empty lots where there could be housing. I saw churches and community centers that were scrambling for donations to meet people's needs, lineups for food, and hospital closures, and I could go on and on. Then there were the faces I saw, the people, folks that sometimes have to beg for the Sherburn bus driver to let them on for free. Penny sees that all the time. Women with children in tow with strollers, and not really fancy strollers, you know, just regular old-fashioned strollers, pushing them to get up to the no-frills, because that's the only place they can afford to buy food. And then you see seniors. You see a lot of seniors and people with disabilities struggling to get to medical appointments because there's no services coming to them. And that's what convinced me to run. And I got mad as hell. I thought, we've had 6 years of McGuinty Liberal government. 6 years characterized by lack of courage, lack of imagination, lack of determination, lack of empathy, lack of political will. Inaction to effectively deal with the housing crisis or poverty, or what I call starving welfare rates. Non-action on the real health needs of the community, needs for more home care, but lots of action on e-health. Non-action on climate change, but lots of time for the nuclear industry. Non-action on creating more supports for seniors, for people with disabilities, more childcare spaces, but lots of action on figuring out how to tax people and get more money from them. What help did our community agencies, including this one that we're in today, that does so much, what help did they get from the government when the recession hit and when it meant that they saw 20 to 30% more people needing their services? Services like food, employment help, legal help, eviction prevention. What have they really done to help the people that I meet in this riding? It was actually with Elle Fruit canvassing that on, it was a Thanksgiving Sunday or Monday, we met people in the lineup at Good Shepherd, people lining up in the laneway, waiting to get in for their meal, and he very quietly, very humbly turned to us and said, "We are so very, very hungry." Then there are the people that are shocked, just shocked that it's happened to them, lost their job, having to move, having to downsize, borrow from friends, sell their car, maybe get EI, but what if they can't get EI? What's the government done for them? And that's what poverty is. It routinely equates to evictions, hunger and deprivation, and ill health, and it's all throughout this riding. And so what's the Liberal response been? Small 2% increases in social assistance rates. Reductions, cuts to the provincial housing budget, cuts to the healthcare system, including, for example, eye exams, and then a new tax to hit people when they're already down. What's been the Liberal response? An inquiry into the Al Gosling death? The elderly St. Jamestown resident who was evicted and then died homeless, like many seniors in this riding. The Liberal response? Talk of poverty reduction and consultations, as if poverty was a new concept. Would we talk about reduction in racism? Would we talk about reduction in child abuse? No. We would talk about zero tolerance and bring in policies to say never again. So I call their response intentional neglect. Now, some people come up to me and they say, well, they just don't really know. The Liberals don't, they don't get it, or they actually just don't know. And that is not true. Intentional neglect, in my mind, is equivalent to purposeful harm. Their non-attention to our infrastructure, the bricks and the mortar, have had a catastrophic effect on shelters, on social housing, on hospitals, and now, of course, we're reminded about the Don Jail. Whether it's water damage in apartments, bedbug-infested buildings, MRSA outbreaks in hospitals, some shelters are now reported as not meeting the United Nations standards for refugee camps. The Don Jail is now being reported as not meeting the United Nations standards for correctional facilities. That is shameful. Naomi Klein sums this all up in her book, if you haven't read it yet. I'm sure most of you have. Shock Doctrine. Privatization, government deregulation, and deep cuts to social programs. Her analysis applies not just to New Orleans, but to right here in Toronto Centre. So February 4th, we need to move from shock to action. And I want to take a little bit of literary license by quoting my friend Dry over here, who became one of the huge tent city heroes. Dry came to Quebec City with us for a protest outside the Chateau Laurier. Dry gave perhaps the shortest speech in the history of housing rallies, but in my opinion, it was the best. And he said, "We are all we. We need to convince the other we that we need help. We need housing. We need housing." So I think that speech can be, it's in my book, by the way, but the reason I say it today is that speech could be, we are all we need to convince the other we that we need help. We need social programs. We don't need corporate tax cuts. We don't need cuts to education or cuts to healthcare. But the heart of this message is that we have to stand up and send a message to the McGuinty Liberals. The heart of this message is that we need to convince people that they count and that they need to vote, and that by voting NDP, in this case for me, that their action will send a province-wide message to Dalton McGuinty that he is out of control and out of touch. So please make the decision today. Work with me. Bring our voice to Queen's Park, our voice, and let Dalton McGuinty know that we are all mad as hell and we do not have to take it anymore. Thank you.